Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Hey everybody, this is Kate.
And Devin.
Welcome to MidCrimes.
We're here.
Hey, hey, hey.
We're back.
We are back.
Oh, sorry it's been so long.
Way too long.
I admit it. It's my fault.
Devin had the Rona.
I had the Rona.
We had the Rona in Devin's house.
It's gone. My family's good.
Everyone's
good. I'm good.
Everyone's healthy.
Quarantine's over. Time to move on. Mm-hmm. But I just want to take a little time and do a shout out to those of you. We're going back to March of 2020 when the world shut down, right?
Poor woman.
And everyone had to like work from home with their children.
Oh.
Now, I am so completely grateful that I'm in a position where I'm able to do that. Like, not everybody can.
A lot of people really can't.
And so the fact that I can is amazing.
It is.
But, wow.
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 You poor thing.
So for any of you who had to do it for a prolonged period of time way back 2 years ago during when this whole thing started.
We're sorry.
Woo!
We are sorry.
Wow.
That happened to you.
That's all I can say is wow.
Also, teachers, we love you.
I know.
You guys are amazing.
I don't know how. I get a glimpse of it now that, you know, I had to do it at home with my children.
Yeah, that's
and
all
occupy
I need.
Them and,
oh. I don't need anything else.
Wow.
You guys are incredible. We love you.
It's my word of the day.
Honestly, wow.
Wow.
Yes.
But.
Good to be back.
Oh, quarantine's over. We're here.
It's over. We're together. Everybody's
no more Rona.
No more Rona. We are good to go. And thanks to our Patreons, we got an amazing software update and we are experimenting with our software now. It's looking great.
We've got a whole new audio system and we're plugging along. So hopefully you guys notice the difference.
Yay, us.
Hopefully there's no more like screeching into your AirPods.
Oh yeah, there's that.
There's that.
Hopefully there's none of that. Hey. Is what we're saying.
We're moving on. We're moving up and moving on.
Moving on.
So we had a new Patreon between then and now.
So thank you to Christy Royer.
Christy Royer.
We love you, Christy Royer.
Awesome. Thank you so much, girl.
We really appreciate you. And we appreciate each and every one of you listening also.
We're close to hitting another milestone with our followers.
We really are still needing anytime you're listening, if you haven't reviewed us already, just like give us a review on whatever platform. It's really, really, really helpful. Just take a second. You don't even have to like, not even a review. Even if you just rate us, that would be so helpful. Just give us a rating, whatever you think we deserve.
And I would hope that those who have left a review, even if it was a constructive, that you have seen us take that to heart.
Yes.
And how we're putting it into as we develop our show.
That's
so,
right.
You know, we really take it all seriously.
We take it all very seriously. We want to make sure that we're, you know, giving you guys the really interesting stuff that you want to hear. And we always, if we have a request from a Patreon, we have pretty much been fulfilling all of these requests slowly
you
as quickly as
demand.
We can turn them out. So, you know, we just wanted to say thank you.
Can we just acknowledge the fact that I just said you ask, we demand?
Wait.
It's not at all what it's supposed to be. You ask and we fulfill.
Devin.
It's been a long day.
It's been a long week.
I won't even. Maybe. I had a completely stupid IT issue at work today.
Oh my God,
and it was one of those where you submit the ticket to IT. And then when you realize what the problem was, you're just like, can we forget that this moment ever happened?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had one of those today.
Was your computer unplugged,
we're
Devin?
No, we're really not going to talk about what happened.
Oh, it was.
No, it was totally on.
Oh,
but,
okay.
You know.
Okay. That's funny. So I had an issue today where my vacuum almost caught on fire.
Stop.
And I don't know if anybody else can like understand this sentiment, but like the thing was broken. Like I took it apart, tried to fix it, and I couldn't fix it. So like living in a house with two small children and a golden retriever, being without a vacuum is like as close to a crisis situation, I think, that I've been in a very long time.
I agree with you. However, I have a vacuum with a dog and two small children, and I think I just pulled it out of the closet the other day.
Kevin, I wish you would have told me because I would have bought it off of you because I just had to like run out and buy a new vacuum so that I could keep my house somewhat manageable.
Oh, we could still go on the vacuum tangent for really a while, could. But yes. I think instead it's been so long that I think we need to get into our case.
Oh, we totally
do. Everybody has been waiting.
Yes. And we have a really interesting and different one today for you guys. So we're going to be talking about the heartbreaking story of Redonda Vaught, who was a registered nurse in the neuro ICU at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, who made headlines over the past several years due to a fatal medication error, which resulted in criminal charges.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very polarizing issue, and it's created a lot of you know, there's the people that are really rallying behind Redonda, and there are the people that are, you know, not really on that side. And we're going to talk about sort of the rationale.
So I'm kind of curious, would this be, based on this brief synopsis that you gave, is this our first case of where this was not something intentional?
Correct.
This was not done with criminal intent from the start?
Exactly. It was not. Yes. And I think that I speak for most, if not all, nurses or medical professionals out there when I say, you know, we've all made mistakes on the job.
Yes.
I have made medication errors.
Yes, as have I.
Most people, I think, in the nursing profession especially, have made errors or witnessed errors that,
you know, or caught yourself about to make one and go, holy crap, thank God I caught myself or
and
something, you know.
Exactly. And we're going to talk about, you know, the environment that she was in, all of the safeguards that have been put in place to prevent medication errors, and why, you know, she failed them and they failed her, sort of.
Okay.
So it's a
I'll be interested to see how I feel at the end of this, because right now I'm like, oh.
You know, I sort of had the idea that I was going to know exactly how I felt, and now I'm like, you know what? I can see both. I really can see both sides, and I have, it breaks my heart, because this is not a serial killer that we're talking about here. We talk a lot about, you know, people who intend to harm other people and they're sick, horrible, twisted monsters. But this woman is not one of them. She's one of us. Okay. And she just, you know, is just in a terrible, terrible situation. And my heart really goes out to her and her family. So
I guess I know what side you stand on now.
Yeah. Yeah. So not a whole lot is known about Redonda's childhood, which is fine because, again, we have a lot to unpack with just like the event, her arrest, her conviction, and the ethics of it all. But this is a bit of background and overview of, first of all, inpatient nursing documentation and flow, because a lot of our listeners are nurses, but not all of us have worked in an inpatient environment.
No.
And not all of us have
myself included.
Exactly. And not all of us have worked in this exact situation. And to best understand exactly what happened here, it's nice to sort of have an idea of what we're dealing with. So now, on an inpatient nursing floor, these days, most things are documented electronically, and nurses and ancillary staff spend hours actually documenting everything that they do with an electronic chart or electronic medical record for a given patient. Now, these systems that we have that keep track of all this information are very complex, and this is where we document when each and every medication is given and how, their assessment findings, their care plans, notes, their vital signs, everything for a patient.
I mean, it's essentially you can't do anything on the job without that computer.
Exactly. And the electronic medical record, or EMR, we're going to refer it to the EMR, is where a patient's demographic info can be found, as well as all of their lab and test results, their imaging. You can look at x-rays on the computer screen that are all, it's all piled in there. Literally everything is within this EMR chart. Mm-hmm. Now, it takes a while to learn how to use a given system because they're all very complicated and really tough to navigate. And I think all of us have started jobs where we have to learn, you know, the new computer system, especially in healthcare.
You just sit on the computer for days.
Oh, gosh. And it just never, never ends. So providers will if they're ordering something new, will place an electronic order within the EMR. The pharmacy then receives that order. A pharmacist can actually allow access to the drug within a electronic drug storage cabinet. And we've talked in past episodes about a Pyxis.
Yes.
They also have something called AccuDose, which is a similar system.
Okay.
And literally what it is a cabinet, and it has a computer screen on top. And the patient's EMR is somewhat linked to this whole system. So once we have an order for a given medication, the pharmacist then says, okay, yes, this is appropriate, and then allows access to this particular drug for this particular patient within the AccuDose.
And in an inpatient setting, that system's set up for every kind of drug. Correct?
Exactly right. Yeah. Yep.
Right down to Tylenol.
Right. Exactly. So once a nurse accesses this drug within the system, she needs to put in her credentials to log into the cabinet, take out the drug, and verify that it's exactly what she's looking for. She closes the drawer. The system is able to record when a drug is withdrawn, even in the patient's medical record itself, because you're taking out and signing out that you're taking a drug for this particular patient. And the nurse sees that order. There's a scanner that's attached to the computer. You scan the patient's armband to make sure that it's the right patient. You scan the medication to make sure it's the right drug, the right dose, the right route, the right time. It seems like a lot of steps, right? But these are all put in place for safety reasons.
And
you
of
know?
Course, when you're doing this multiple times a day, it becomes very fluid.
Exactly. And it all ends up being sort of second nature. And we do it for so many drugs, for so many patients a day. And if you scan this and, you know, the nurse who's giving it has the wrong medication scanned or it's not the right dose or the right route or it's not the right time for the medication, you will get sort of an alert on your screen that says, you know, this is incorrect. This is not the right patient or not the right medication or what have you.
I remember when I was inpatient for myself as a patient, I actually had to get a new armband because I was there so long it was like the barcode and whatnot. You know, they couldn't scan me anymore to do anything that they needed to do.
That's literally the worst thing I've ever heard.
Every time someone comes into a room, you're just like, here's my armband.
And then they're like, oh dear, this has worn off.
Yes.
You've been here so long. Oh my God, you poor woman. That was awful. So it's important to note, too, that the EMR is not just within the computer, and it's often integrated with the other equipment, like their bedside monitors.
Yeah.
The vital signs often flow seamlessly right into this system. Testing equipment, like any radiology equipment, will all be tied with that. The glucometers, if you're taking a blood sugar, will flow right into the record. Everything. So these patient charts are sort of omnipresent when you're on a unit like this.
Mm-hmm.
So nurses, med techs, and anyone else who gives medications for a living are trained on the five rights, right? So it's the right dose.
Right from the very beginning.
Exactly. This Nursing is like one of the first things you learn as a nurse. Exactly. So the right dose, the right route, the right medication, the right time, and the right patient. Those are the five rights.
The five rights.
Yes. And it's something that you're supposed to verify.
And it really, I mean, it seems so foolish, but it really is kind of a foolproof system.
Well, it is. If you, you do know, that
if you,
every
if
time.
If you do that every single time.
Then you're not going to make an error.
Yes.
That's the rationale. So despite our training, though, and despite that, mistakes do, of course, happen.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've had a lot of advances in our technology, there's a lot of safeguards against medication errors within the EMRs themselves. So like we said before, scanning. So once there's a medication order in and the pharmacy reviews it to make sure it actually makes sense, and if it does, you know, and the nurse scans it and it's not exactly what's ordered or it's the wrong patient, the wrong time, you're going to get a warning across your screen and you're going to be given, you know, a stop before you're allowed to document this, right? So if it doesn't match exactly, you know, a warning is going to pop up. Typically, these warnings can be worked around. You can click around them mm-hmm. and actually go ahead and document
like
this.
Override it.
You can override mm-hmm. it for obvious reasons, mm-hmm. right? So many inpatient environments have these medication cabinets, like a Pyxis or an Accudose. These are the most common systems. And mostly what they keep in there, they keep a lot of other medications in there that don't make sense, like Senna and Tylenol. But a lot of times all the controlled medications are kept in there, and the right. high alert drugs tend to be kept in there.
You keep saying inpatient status because obviously yeah. that's not where I'm employed and that's not my field. But right. I'm thinking about it and it's like, you know, we have a lot of safeguards in place, but not to that
right.
not to that extent. We have it for backup supply if you need right. to go get
that's
a new
right.
med
exactly.
or whatnot. But
yep. Yeah. Exactly right. So in order to access a medication from here, you need to log in with your unique credentials with the little computer screen on the top to get access to even open the cabinet. And then you'll need to select your patient and then select your patient's profile. And under your patient's profile, you're going to find a list of their ordered medications. So yep. it's not like,
yes.
yep. you know, everything's under there. It will populate a list of
only
what the patient has on order.
What's been ordered for them.
Exactly right. So you select the medication you need, and the one drawer with the one pocket will pop open. Once you do that, you pull out your drug, you close the pocket, you close the drawer, and then you move on and you give your medication. So this device, again, it keeps an internal record of every time you access a pocket for every patient every mm-hmm. time, and what the count of all the medications should be. So you might ask, like, what if there's an emergency with a patient? Like, what if someone's crashing and you need a medication right now? Mm-hmm. And how do you access it if it's not listed on their profile? Because the doctor is literally at the bedside shouting at
Give
you what
this
you need.
To them, yeah.
So the unit, first of all, is usually equipped with code carts, which contain most medications that one would need in a rescue situation. Mm-hmm. And you can just open the code cart and all of those, you know, your amiodarone, your epinephrine, all of those mm-hmm. code medications are in there. So if a situation arises, though, that one needs to quickly obtain a medication from a cabinet system in an emergency situation via a verbal order from the provider, and then they haven't had a chance physically to enter this.
Right. There's no time to go through the process.
Exactly. So there is an override option with these cabinets. So in this situation, this is how that goes. One would log in with your credentials, select your patient, and follow the prompts to perform a quick system override in order to obtain this critical medication. Now, this action does get carefully recorded, and oftentimes you're prompted to document a reason that you need to pull out this medication.
Right. What's the rationale?
Without an electronic order. So it's designed to really only be done in an emergent or urgent situation. And again, this is all integrated with the EMR. So oftentimes this override will even pop up on the patient's MR, like, hey, mm-hmm. someone pulled out this drug for the patient. Mm-hmm. You're going to need to figure out a way to administer this and right. figure right. out how to document it. So medication error prevention is typically a very high priority for hospitals and inpatient units, as they're a leading cause of injury and harm in the healthcare system, and they're typically 100% avoidable.
Yes.
So all of this technology is all put in place not only for the convenience of having everything there just a click away, but also to help prevent these medical errors. Mm-hmm. So now that you have sort of an idea of the, you know, the workings of the electronic medical record, to, you know, the documentation behind it, and the quick override system, we're going to talk about RedondaVault.
We've been schooled.
We have been schooled. So RedondaVault is a registered nurse, 35 years of age. She had lots of experience, and she worked in the neurological ICU of Vanderbilt University Medical Center, she actually started working there in October of 2015, and it's actually the largest hospital in Nashville, and it's one of the most respected hospitals in the nation.
Neurological ICU, that's no joke.
It really is not. I mean, these nurses are so highly specialized.
Very skilled.
Now, she did really well. Throughout this whole time at Vanderbilt, she had never had a disciplinary action against her. Her license was in great standing. Standing. The word is standing. Her license was in great standing. She had absolutely no criminal record. Her employee reviews were all glowing.
How long had she been a nurse at this point?
So she had been a nurse for, I don't exactly know how many years.
Okay.
I'm going to say like probably 8 or 9 years. She had been working at Vanderbilt for 2 years at the time of this error.
2 years. So, that's a long time. You're not a new employee.
Exactly.
You're, yeah.
So she was even tasked with orienting new hire nurses. Yep. Yep. So she was a preceptor. So others really looked up to her, and she was one of the stars on the unit. She was really doing a great job. So
what happened?
I know. We're getting there. Oh. So it's heartbreaking. So Charlene Murphy, she's a 75-year-old patient who was a long-time resident of Gallatin, Tennessee, which is a suburb of Nashville. And she was admitted with a subdural hematoma on December 24th, 2017. And a subdural hematoma is some bleeding within the brain, typically resulting from a head injury.
Not good.
Not so great. So 2 days later, on 12/26, Charlene was doing really, really well in the hospital, and she was due for one final test prior to discharging, which was a PET CT scan. Mm-hmm. Now, this patient had some anxiety and claustrophobia, and with that, a common practice is to sedate with IV medications for this particular test because it's kind of a long study, and it's kind of loud, and it just ensures that you're going to get good images, and the patient will remain still and that they don't have to come back and repeat the test at additional cost and blah, blah, blah. So pretty routine circumstances. Now, the day in question, Redonda was working on the unit and she was tasked with an orientee. So she had an orientee following her today. And she later reported that she was well rested, she was not overtired, and the unit was adequately staffed. So.
Okay, so that's a good shift.
Yep. It's a good day.
Yes.
It's all a good day thus far. Their drug storage cabinet system was AccuDose, which is similar to Pyxis. Mm-hmm. And I can see in my head exactly what happened here and exactly what she did because that is the system that I use.
I was just going to ask if you have AccuDose.
Exactly. So I spent about 5 years working with this system. So this is the sequence of events that followed. So, Redonda pulled up a patient's profile in the AccuDose in search of Versed.
Now, you said a patient. Did she pick the right patient?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, she searched for Versed, and she looked in the profile and did not see that Versed was listed in the patient's profile as an option for removal. So, instead of confirming the order with the pharmacy or the provider, she decided to perform a cabinet override, meaning that she used the on-screen prompts to bypass the patient's list and searched for Versed.
Okay.
So a warning pops up on the screen here, which reads, override medication should only be accompanied by stat orders of when the clinical status of a patient would be significantly compromised by the delay that would result from this pharmacy review.
Okay.
So
basically a disclaimer.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So she chooses to continue. And when you override, an entire drug library of what's available in the Pyxis pops up. Not just a few meds, everything. And you can search for anything and everything you want. So she types in VE, the two letters VE.
Okay.
And as she does this, all of the drugs beginning with VE pop up on the screen for her to select from. And she was obviously looking for Versed. Unfortunately, the drugs are listed by their generic names.
Oh, no.
So the generic name for Versed is Midazolam. So she would have had to get the correct drug, search MI to have that pop up.
Right.
So the first drug to pop up on the very top of the list was Vecuronium Bromide. So
we've talked about this drug.
We have. And we're going to talk about the two drugs in a minute. So she quickly selects the Vecuronium Bromide takes the medication out of the cabinet. She brings the medication to the PET CT scan room to the patient. She is informed that the staff in PET CT will not be able to give the drug to the patient because they are running some scans. And sometimes they're able to give it and monitor the patient, but they didn't have the staff to do so at that day. So that means basically that the RN has to stay with the patient until they're able to take her in and for the test itself. Mm-hmm. So she and her orientee, his name was Darren, go down to see the patient with the drug in hand. They couldn't find a computer to scan the medication down in PET CT. So they administer it there anyway.
Without scanning it.
They have administered what they think is Versed to Charlene, having actually given Vecuronium instead of Versed. She then, contrary to policy, leaves the patient unattended.
Even though they had the discussion that she was to stay.
Yes. She and Darren make the decision to leave the patient in the PET scan waiting area. This is critical because had someone stayed with her, she may have been able to be resuscitated. This decline in, right, in status would have been witnessed.
He, I'm assuming, is, you know, I'm thinking about the scan rooms. Mm-hmm. So he's not in the room with her.
Right.
He's behind the wall at the computer screen, making sure the images are going good.
I believe so.
Right? I mean, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. I'm picturing the radiology room. And so, yeah. So right. There's no actual person with her.
Right. So the two nurses leave, and quickly, within minutes, she goes into respiratory arrest. Mm. Now, when she's found, she's been in respiratory arrest for a period of time. She's coded and brought back to the neuro ICU with a pulse. Redonda then tells the acute care NP who's attending to her and the resident that's there that, oh my gosh, I think I gave Vecuronium instead of Versed.
She did that. She recognized it.
And in a panic, I cannot imagine the feeling in this girl's chest at this moment.
Yeah.
So she said, I'm so sorry, is what they report hearing from her. I'm so sorry. I think I did this. So unfortunately, the damage had been done by the time she was resuscitated, and she had a massive hypoxic brain injury as a result. And she was declared clinically brain dead after some testing.
Wow.
And eventually, she passed away the following day after her family came in to say their goodbyes.
Oh.
So, we're going to talk about Versed, the drug that she intended to give, versus Vecuronium, the drug that actually got given. Now, Versed, also known as midazolam, is a benzodiazepine, and it's often given in pre-procedural sedation. It can also be used for the treatment of anxiety, and it's given in oral, IV, or IM forms. And actually, we've talked about this drug before. This was what was given to Candy in the John Schneeberger case.
With the sexual assault.
Yes, exactly right. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it can impair your ability to form new memories, and it really relaxes you, and it sometimes can sedate you and put you to sleep. So,
however,
exactly. Now, this will provide some sedation, and it bodes monitoring, as it can cause things like respiratory depression, bradycardia, but it is not a paralytic.
Well, and it's because it's supposed to calm you down.
Exactly.
So it's supposed to make your breathing a little slower. It's supposed to bring your heart rate down to not race.
Exactly.
But yeah, it doesn't impair.
It does not paralyze.
No,
it is not a paralytic.
Right.
She would have still had some respiratory drive on this drug. So Vecuronium bromide, on the other hand, is a neuromuscular blocking agent, and it's a powerful paralytic. It's used on patients who are intubated or about to be intubated to paralyze their muscles, and this includes the muscles used for breathing. So
this we talked about in the Janine Jones.
I believe so.
Case,
yes,
right?
Or I think in her case it was succinylcholine, which
but
is
in, the same
in a very
family,
similar
fame
drug.
Class.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, if this is given to a patient who is not intubated, it will cause respiratory arrest and kill the patient if no one intervenes.
Oh boy.
So, the warnings that she bypassed a massive amount of warnings, like electronic warnings, in order to access this drug. She also ran into some clinical red flags, which should have immediately stopped her. And we're going to talk about those too. Because I feel like if this were me, the clinical stuff, is what I would be like, hold on, I'm obviously fucking up here pretty royally. What's going on?
Right.
So, first of all, she bypassed the override warnings on the cabinet itself. Secondly,
because the drug wasn't in the list.
Exactly. Secondly, when she selects Vecuronium bromide, another warning pops up on the cabinet screen that says, warning, paralytic agent.
She bypassed this. Oh, no. I'm sure it was in big, bold letters.
Oh, yeah.
Probably red, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, after this warning, another on-screen warning comes up that says, warning, Vecuronium is a paralyzing agent, causes respiratory arrest, and the patient must be on a ventilator.
Oh, no.
She bypassed this.
Oh, no.
Vacuronium.
And I'm assuming, so when you get the warnings, when you're saying bypass, is it just like an acknowledgement? Like
you, because you're in a hurry. Yes. You have a fucking million things to do as a floor nurse in the ICU.
Yeah.
So this one is the one that really threw me and is the one that I think that I would, at a very bare minimum, have noticed this. And this would have set off a red flag for me. Vacuronium comes in powder form that needs to be reconstituted.
Oh.
Meaning that Versed comes in liquid form in a vial.
So she took powder out.
Reconstituted it with liquid.
Yeah.
Then drew it up and gave it. Now, when you're a nurse and you're really familiar with all these medications. She's a nurse in the neuro ICU and I think probably has given Versed about a million times.
Probably, and as well as the other medication. I mean, she neurological ICU, you probably have a fair amount of your people on vents.
And you did not notice that you had to reconstitute powder and draw it up instead of just drawing from a tiny little glass vial.
Yeah.
So that for me is RNs really a big thing.
We're assessors and we're critical thinkers.
Even if I were caught up in the moment and in robot mode, I feel like that would have stopped me.
You
in
have
my tracks.
Powder in your hands.
Yeah, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. This does not make sense.
Oh.
So there's that. That was a little alarming. So next.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Preparing this for administration would have required for her to read the instructions on the vial to know exactly what and what amount to reconstitute it with. It will say on the vial, hey, this is a powder form. In order to reconstitute it, you have to inject 5 cc's of sterile water or 4 cc's of normal saline.
Mm-hmm.
She would have had to look at the vial and read the instructions on the vial to know exactly how to prepare this.
Mm-hmm.
And she still didn't notice that this was Vacuronium and not Versed.
Right, because you don't have to do that with Versed.
No, you don't. Yeah. And she had to look at the vial and look at the words. So she never should have had to do this with Versed. Lastly, on the vial that was filled with powder originally, and she mixed it with a fluid to withdraw it.
So now we have the liquid form of the medication.
The cap on the bottle of Vacuronium is bright red, and it reads paralyzing agent. There's a lot of clinical stuff here that she should have noticed.
Right.
Even if the electronic stuff was
you're right. The clinical stuff is puzzling.
Exactly.
It is puzzling.
Upon some initial interviews, Redonda admits that she was distracted by her orientee, discussing with him the swallow evaluation that they were headed to after this happened. So she shared that although she should not have overridden the drug, it is common practice to do so. And this is what made my heart ache, because it is common practice. Because, Devin, I used to do that on the Accudose. I used to do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this could have happened. This could, I mean, I don't know that this exact thing would have happened, but something similar could have happened to me.
Right.
Because we are all in a hurry and we're all looking for ways to get things done efficiently because we're under so much pressure to do that.
And even if the unit's fully staffed, we all know that our staffing ratios, are they what they're supposed to be? No, like
never.
Even if you have everyone that you're supposed to, it's not.
It's never not a challenge.
But do you ever, orienting somebody? I always felt when I was orienting somebody, that's actually what made me more careful.
Oh, 100%. I completely agree.
Versus more distracted. Like,
100%.
Because you're explaining things and you're going step by step to teach them.
Yep.
So it actually, yes, it slows you down because you're like, you're not going through the robot modes, So it's almost like, I don't know how I feel about that one. I don't
exactly.
know.
I agree with you completely, because I do feel like when I was a preceptor too once upon a time, and
And again, wouldn't you want to explain what that warning is on the screen?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so this is popping up because it's warning us that it's a paralytic agent.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, crap. This is the wrong med.
Exactly.
So,
like, that's not a typical warning I get.
No.
Not with this. So that just, it breaks my heart for her. So she admitted that she thought that it was odd that she needed to reconstitute the medication, as she didn't recall needing to do that before. She said that she wasn't looking directly
I feel like that should be a strike up too. Like, again, like, Is this a new form that the med comes in?
I know, but you check. Like, you look at the vial and you're like, this is Versed, right? Oh, shit. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
This is Vecuronium. I almost just killed this woman. Literally. So, oh,
man.
She said that she wasn't looking directly at the vial cap when she removed it. Like, she was talking and went flip. You know, just like flipped it off. And so.
Yeah, because we all know how those vials come. And it's just a flip of the thumb.
Exactly.
Yes.
And she was quoted as saying after the fact, I thought to myself, I probably just killed a patient. What did I do to her if I didn't kill her? What kind of life-changing thing did I just put her and her family through? I really fucked up.
I can only imagine the guilt that she's feeling.
It would crush me.
I know I how I have felt, and you know, fortunately, any errors that I have made have been very minute.
Yeah, same.
But you still go through that. How did I do that?
Oh my gosh. And you still
go through those motions.
Oh, it eats you up. So this is the initial response to this error. So two Vanderbilt neurologists reported her death to the Davidson County Medical Examiner without mentioning the medication error or Vecuronium. So this was a big no-no because it seemed like...
Explain that again.
So
say this again.
So the death was reported to the Davidson County Medical Examiner per routine.
Yes.
By two Vanderbilt neurologists.
Because it's unexpected, you know, unplanned...
By two Vanderbilt neurologists, but they did not mention to the medical examiner anything about the Vecuronium or anything about the medication error. The medical examiner reviews the case and attributes her death to bleeding in the brain because he has no other reason to believe that this could have been a medication error because it was never reported to him and he deemed it a natural death. So,
but something must have happened then to override that.
Exactly. So, based on the information that was made available to him, he did not do an independent investigation into her death.
Okay, right. Okay. Yeah.
So, January 3rd of 2018, Redonda Vaught is terminated from Vanderbilt for this medication error. So,
Which I agree with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the medication error was never reported to any other entity besides the hospital.
I mean, so Rhonda did what she was supposed to.
Redonda, excuse me.
At, you know, reporting, I think I gave this med. So she's reporting herself. So
she did the right thing.
Termination is justified.
Agreed.
I mean, a patient died.
Agreed.
But so she's doing the right thing. She cooperated.
I completely agree. After this, she is trying to do all the right things. The hospital, though, is not doing all the right things. So no state or local agencies were notified of this medication error. The nursing board wasn't notified. Nothing.
So now it's looking like a cover-up?
Exactly.
Which is that how it makes it become criminal?
Well, not quite, but we're gonna talk about that. So in the wake of Murphy's death, Vanderbilt officials take several actions that obscure fatal medication error from the government and the public, obscure the knowledge of the medication error from the government and from the public. And this error is not reported to the state. And it is not reported to any federal offices, which is both those things are required by law. Mm-hmm. It's not reported to the Joint Commission. That's the accrediting agency that recommends but does not require reporting. Yeah, exactly. So things from here are pretty quiet until October of 2018. So in early 2018, Vanderbilt is sort of negotiating an out-of-court settlement with the family of Mrs. Murphy.
Okay.
And part of the settlement is that the family will not speak publicly about the error at all.
So how does the family... So obviously there's a suit,
yes,
right? Mm-hmm. If they're settling.
Yep.
What made the family want to do a suit? Were they told that it was a medication
error? They were
error?
Made aware that okay. the, of the medication error what? By the providers at the
okay.
time.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
So the family is aware. They've created this lawsuit. They've settled. And the amount is not known because it's kept... It's mm-hmm. That's not public record, but part of the agreement is that the family would not speak publicly about the error.
Fine.
So in May 2018, she retains her license as a nurse because, again, no board has been notified. And she continues to work as a throughput coordinator at a TriStar Centennial Medical Center in Nashville. So this is a non-patient contact environment.
Okay.
So she's doing basically like sort of administrator work.
Yeah.
So In October.
And honestly, that's probably what she wants. I mean, she killed a girl, a woman. So she's probably like, I don't trust myself.
I would be thinking the same thing.
That she's feeling.
100%. This poor girl. So in 2018, I'm sorry, in October of 2018, an anonymous complaint was filed with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
CMS.
And an anonymous tipster alerts the state and federal health offices of the unreported medication error that was responsible for Murphy's death, prompting an immediate CMS investigation on Vanderbilt. And that took place from October 31st to November 8th of 2018.
So now, an anonymous tipster
told all of these governing bodies that, hey, just so you know, this lady Murphy died at Vanderbilt from a medication error and nobody reported it outside of the hospital to you guys.
So it's either somebody in that family or it's a coworker
that knew about it.
Employee in Vanderbilt that, yeah, okay.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So the Tennessee Department of Health investigates the incident as well as Redonda's actions specifically. And initially, Redonda was actually cleared of any wrongdoing or malpractice, which is shocking to me. I don't know how they made that determination. Mm. It's weird. So she was issued a letter that stated that the matter required no further action. Again, I don't get that.
I think that, and this is my opinion, so nobody come down on me, but I think that there was obviously malpractice.
Oh, I think she was very negligent.
She needs to be reported to the board.
100%. CMS does their investigation, and the inspection confirms that Murphy died from an accidental dose of vecuronium and that that Vanderbilt did not report the medication error to any governing bodies or the medical examiner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so in November of 2018 is when things really become public. Because
we're pushing 10 months after.
Exactly. So CMS...
Hospital cover-up. I can see the headlines. Mm-hmm.
CMS releases an investigation report that details the error without identifying Vaught or Murphy specifically. And CMS threatens to suspend Vanderbilt's Medicare payments, crippling the hospital's revenue if Vanderbilt can't prove that it has taken steps to prevent similar errors. So Vanderbilt quickly responds with a, quote, plan of correction that appeases the federal agencies as
well. I mean, you have to do that with anything when you find things. It's like, okay, how did we find this? What are we going to do to make sure it doesn't affect anybody else?
Exactly.
And how are we going to fix it?
Exactly right.
It's QAPI. Uh-huh. My administrator's favorite letters, if she's listening.
QAPI.
She'd be so proud that I was able to just talk about the process right now.
Exactly. So... Vanderbilt, for now, appeases the governing bodies, and they secure their Medicare reimbursements. So they're happy.
Everybody wants their Medicare reimbursement.
Everybody wants their reimbursement.
You lose that. Hits the fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye-bye.
February of 2019, Vanderbilt executives speak about the fatal medical error during a meeting of the Tennessee Board of Licensing Healthcare Facilities, which is responsible for disciplining hospitals. So... the Vanderbilt Health System CEO, C. Wright Pinson, admits that the death wasn't reported to state regulators and says that the hospital's response was, quote, too limited, which I think is a interesting choice of words, sir.
He chose those wisely.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Too limited or terrible.
Understatement.
And you're terrible. So Vanderbilt officials also confirmed for the first time that they negotiated a settlement with the family. So the board takes no disciplinary action against Vanderbilt, which, again, I'm shocked.
Yeah. This always happens. Probably, again, has to do with money. Everything.
Oh, of course, everything does. Exactly. So this is when criminal charges are filed and it becomes public who Redonda Vaught is.
What are the charges?
Reckless homicide, which is defined by a person consciously disregarding a substantial and unjustifiable risk.
Okay.
And abuse of an impaired adult, which is defined as offense to knowingly, other than by accidental means, neglect any adult. So Yeah, because so? She left her bedside.
Oh, that's right. And she left should, her.
Yes.
Yes,
so
that's
those,
right.
So those two.
She, yeah.
Those do meet the definitions of those criminal true. Actions.
Especially, yeah.
You know?
I totally agree with the first one, but yes, you're right. I forgot about the fact that exactly. she left the bedside.
Yep. So Redonda is arrested, and she makes her first appearance in court on February 20th
this sucks,
cause of 2019.
I don't want to agree with this, but I do.
Well, I kind of do too.
That's why this I'm sucks.
Saying. Because it's because she's one of us, man, and it could have it really something similar.
This sucks.
Could have happened to me, and I feel I think she was that negligent. Criminal charges, though, are it's
because,
a lot,
and it's especially frustrating because we have all of these other bastards that we've been discussing.
Oh my god,
about.
I know, and she's not one of
and
them.
She's
one
not.
Of us,
and so we've been talking about all of these guys and how we can't get them arrested.
I know,
like, and we're like, what the frig?
Meanwhile, everyone's really eager to jump on this nurse. Who and
I don't think she should be a nurse anymore, but I don't know.
Here's
if
a good
she should
segue.
Be in jail.
Here's a good segue into her putting up a GoFundMe page. So,
oh, she did that
in the midst of her arrest. She put up a GoFundMe page because she's getting a lot of attention in the media.
Yeah,
and she admits to making a mistake. She doesn't elaborate exactly what it is, but we all know because of the yes. media. So on it, she states, "Quote." Many feel very strongly that that setting the precedent that nurses should be indicted and incarcerated for inadvertent medical errors is dangerous.
I would agree.
I agree with that statement.
I agree.
And it's raised over $100,000. A lot of people agree with that statement.
Wow.
Right?
That's huge.
It's huge.
That's in 2019?
Yes.
Wow.
I know. So she makes her first court appearance in February of 2019, right? And the prosecution is arguing that the fact that she blatantly ignored 5 huge warnings plus a ton of clinical red flags proves intent. See, I don't know that it was intentional. I think it was negligent.
Yes.
I don't.
Negligence, 1,000%.
I do not think she went to work today thinking, I think I'm going to kill an old lady today. That sounds
no.
great. I don't because, think she.
And like, just think back to Dunch and all
yes.
of this stuff. And they didn't have intent until he stated it in an email.
Exactly.
And this
very
girl never stated it.
Exactly.
And they're just like, oh, you have intent because of all the warnings you bypassed?
Exactly.
How many sponge counts and all this other crap did he just ignore?
Exactly. It's infuriating.
Oh.
I know it. These charges, if she is convicted, would carry 2 to 12 years in prison. So she pleads not guilty. And prosecutors,
I agree with that too.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I don't
see here's the it's such a gray area because again she does
and
I
she's
feel
completely right about they're setting a precedent because I mean
100% that sets a precedent because now you know
can you go after every single nurse who makes
a medication error? No, you can't. I think that in certain circumstances, though, in these specific circumstances, it does to a degree make sense.
Yep.
This is so tough. It's so tough because I'm so torn for this poor girl. It's rough, man. So she pleads not guilty. Prosecutors say publicly that the hospital shares blame for this, which 100%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many staff members agree.
Because I also wonder, too, like, had it been reported right from the beginning, there'd be no anonymous tip. Would there be the cover? Like, there wouldn't be, quote unquote, a cover up. And maybe the result of it would be loss of license.
Exactly.
But
not necessarily
not criminal
charges.
Yeah.
So a lot of staff members, though, came to her defense and agreed that overrides in an acudose are super common. And even in non-emergent but more just urgent situations. And management and pharmacy are aware that this keeps occurring and that the override function is being routinely misused. And
do you agree with that based on your experience?
100%.
Yeah.
And because it's being routinely misused and everyone knows about it, this is creating warning fatigue. And
you're not reading the label.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not reading that disclaimer that keeps popping up in front of your face.
We think that warning fatigue just played a humongous role in this entire constellation of events. So nurses and other staff who use EMRs are constantly bombarded with electronic warnings,
yeah.
red lettering on equipment, red lettering on boxes, mm-hmm. making warnings just not trigger the alarm bells internally that they are intended to anymore. And
it's kind of like, you know, do you hear that call bell? Because you hear them all the time.
So I hear it in my dreams.
Yeah.
Call bells.
Yeah. So like someone will be like, don't you hear that? And it's like, no, there's a pump blaring
and I just tune it out after a while because it just, the sounds, the alarms, the lights, the sirens.
At some point in time, red doesn't become so alarming to you.
Exactly.
Which is unfortunate, but.
It is, but you get, it becomes a part of your soul after a while as a nurse. It really does.
Yeah.
So. Essentially, staff are being desensitized to what can be critical warning messages as a result.
I'll kind of think of it in, you know, all the PPE we have to use.
Oh, my God.
We're so desensitized to it. When it used to be such a big deal if we had to go into a room with our face shields and N95s and our gowns and whatnot. But now it's like, I'm going in a room again.
I'm just happy that I don't have to reuse the same N95 anymore for, you know, for 2 weeks I did at the very beginning of all this shit.
Right.
Court records indicate that during the trial, investigators alleged that Redonda made 10 separate errors when giving the wrong medication to Murphy. And
I'm sure if you counted up all those warnings and each step,
Yes. As this starts getting more media attention and the story starts spreading in the medical community, shortly thereafter in September 2019, without an explanation, the Department of Health Services in Tennessee reverses their decision. So remember, initially they had done an investigation and cleared her of any wrongdoing. Now the media is like, well, hold on. She did have a lot to do with this.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, of course, everybody's looking for, we have a victim and now they need a perpetrator.
Exactly. So they cited her with the following: unprofessional conduct, abandoning and neglecting a patient that required care, and failure to maintain an accurate patient record because she didn't scan the medication and scan the patient before she gave the med. So now, because Vaught is now facing two legal proceedings, a criminal trial and then a professional discipline hearing.
That would be with the board against her license.
Yes, exactly right. So a debate begins over which case should proceed first, and Vaught's attorneys attempt to delay the discipline proceeding until after her trial, arguing that if she defends herself by testifying in the discipline hearings, prosecutors can then use that information against her in the trial. So, however, the attorneys for the health department opposed this delay, insisting that Vaught is an urgent threat to the public and that she needs to be removed from society. I mean, that is just bullshit. Like, she's not some gun-wielding psychopath that's out there murdering people.
And she's not just picking up a job at another hospital where she has access to the same meds, the same systems, and all that stuff.
No, she's removed herself from the bedside.
The job that she took, it was a significant change in what she was doing before. That shows you that this affected her.
And she had obvious remorse.
Of course. You don't go from being a neurological ICU nurse at the age of 35 to then go doing a job that's going to have you just sitting at the desk.
Exactly right. So Judge Elizabeth Cambron decides not to delay the proceedings, saying Vaught's desire to delay the hearing is outweighed by the seriousness of the allegations. Whatever, lady. So December 15th, 2019 rolls around.
I think everybody's just jumping on her to have somebody to blame.
Oh, yeah.
Is to blame, but to that extent,
I think the hospital is to blame a lot for this. She's definitely got blame here, but the hospital too. I mean, let's be honest. So December 15th, 2019, a Tennessean investigation reveals how actions taken by Vanderbilt officials obscured the circumstances of Murphy's death completely and delayed and hampered an investigation into the hospital. Completely true. The story also includes the first public statements from Charlene Murphy's grandson, Alan Murphy. So he was not constrained by the lawsuit. Because the lawsuit, remember, had a clause that said they cannot speak to the media. But he was not named. He was not named in that lawsuit. So he's been pretty outspoken in the media, and he's said, quote, a cover-up, that's what it seems. And he said, quote, they didn't want this to be known, so they didn't ever let it be known. He's talking of the hospital, of course.
Right, yeah.
So Vanderbilt declines to comment on this, and spokesman John Hauser said that the hospital would not speak further about Murphy's death. And from here, there's a little bit of a break, and there's a lot of delays because COVID starts, the pandemic kind mm-hmm. of onset, and mm-hmm. Appeals are being filed here, so things kind of get delayed.
She's not, like, in jail at this time, is she?
Not right now.
Okay.
So July 22nd, 2021, Vaught's medical discipline hearing finally begins. And during testimony, Vaught did not shirk responsibility for Murphy's death at all. She
hasn't since the very beginning.
No, she said, quote, "It's completely my fault," end quote. And she did not double check the medicine that she provided. There's a lot of things that she failed to do, and she completely acknowledges that.
That shows such integrity.
Exactly.
Not someone who's trying to cover it up.
No.
Oh.
I feel like this girl.
As nurses, we have integrity.
Yes.
We really strive hard to do what we want to do. And she's owning up to her mistakes since the very beginning.
And she's being demonized. And yeah, she's not a demon.
Yeah.
She's a good person. And she says, like, listen, I fucked up real hard.
Yeah.
And I feel terrible. And she has to live with that every single day. Mm-hmm. And for a person who's a good person, that's hellacious to have to live with that shit. Honestly, that's going to be so hard for her to move on from. So July 22nd of 2021, Vaught's medical discipline hearing finally begins again. And during testimony...
Oh gosh, so this is only like 8 months ago?
And things are still ongoing with this. But Vaught and her attorney also argue that mistakes were made, that it was flawed procedures at Vanderbilt. Like, the system is flawed. The medication administration system, the whole system with the Accudose and overriding the warnings and how everybody does it and nobody's addressing that. That's a big flaw. At the time, they said Vanderbilt was struggling with a problem that prevented communication between its electronic health records, medication cabinets, and the hospital pharmacy, and that this was causing delays at accessing medications, and the hospital's short-term workaround was to override the safeguards on the cabinets. So this was a workaround that everybody knew about.
That they show you about. They teach you.
Exactly. And this is, I think, something that absolutely drove this error here. So, very sad circumstances. So, Vaught was quoted to say, quote, "Overriding was something we did as part of our practice every single day, and you couldn't get a bag of fluids for a patient without using the override function," end quote. Which is true. Mm-hmm. Is so true. And on July 23rd, 2021, the Tennessee Board of Nursing revoked Vaught's nursing license permanently. And the board members appear sympathetic to her case, but could not overlook her myriad of errors, which, I mean, I get.
That statement, I agree with.
Yes.
I agree with. It was a fatal error. Mm-hmm. Several steps were there. We can see how it happened, but they were there.
Exactly.
And yeah, I agree with that. I think as I've been listening to you and coming to this, I'm like, I feel like this should be loss of license for good, not temporary. But
it's a struggle, man.
We have to keep struggle. So
March 21st, 2022 is when Vaught's criminal trial this month. Next week.
Criminal
trial is scheduled to begin. So we are going to follow.
This is timely.
We are going to follow this. We are going to give you updates. And we are going to keep you guys updated on what's going on.
Can we take a poll? I said toll, but I mean poll. Nobody's.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good talk.
On guilty or not guilty. I feel like there's a lot of people out there that would agree with us on the, I agree.
Of the criminal charges.
I think your nursing profession is over.
Yes.
But, yeah.
I think that technically.
I'm on not guilty side. Can I be a juror? They wouldn't let me, but.
I don't think that there's. So, do I think that this falls under the umbrella of the criminal charges, what happened here?
And it's going to be interesting when they do the whole reasonable doubt thing. Yes. But behind the whole reasonable doubt, and because it does fit the description.
It does, but I don't think that there was intent.
I think the defense attorney,
they're going to have a lot of trouble proving beyond a reasonable doubt that there was intent.
That was her intent to do that when she went into work.
Exactly. And I also don't think that this medication error is grounds to demonize this person.
Yeah,
She's lost her nursing license and has to live with this for the rest of her life. Yes. And that, for me, would be enough punishment. Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
I want to know what you guys think.
Kate, this was a good one.
This was so good.
Oh.
And so listen, it's interesting because I only heard of this because my hospital that I work at started making some changes in response to this.
Well, it's ongoing.
Exactly.
It's current, so I'm sure all the systems are now coming down.
So one of the things that they did was, remember how I said that she searched for Versed using the first two letters, the VE. Well, what they did was they upgraded our Pyxis system to require it for, you have to search with five letters now, the first five letters of the medication. She would have had to type in the entire drug Versed and would have found, it's listed as midazolam. That's right. And that would have stopped it right there.
Euronium wouldn't have come up.
Exactly.
That's a good upgrade.
Yes, it is, right? So I felt like that was a good idea. Mm-hmm. I think that the nurses on the floor, though, I heard grumblings. They were pissed because they were like, I have to type five letters instead of two. And I'm like, you know what? If this prevents you from being in Redonda Vaught's shoes one day.
So when you're at work, tell them that.
Listen
to episode what?
14.
Listen to episode 14 and tell me if you are griping about those extra three letters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is, that is the most up-to-date stuff on poor Redonda Vaught, and our thoughts are with her because she is a kindred spirit, and I feel so terrible that she is in this situation and that she has to live with what has happened.
If she happens to be listening, I respect you for keeping your integrity since the very beginning.
We feel like you have acted with such grace in the face of this adversity. Keep your head up, girl. We are thinking of you. We are so sorry this happened, and we know that you are too.
Not that she's listening.
But... No, she's not. No. God, no.
She's got bigger things
to maybe someday. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. So thank you for listening, everybody.
Yes, as always. So why don't you drop us a follow on Instagram?
At Med Crimes Podcast.
Send us a Twitter.
At Med Crimes PC.
Find us on Facebook.
Search for Med Pines. Med.
Okay.
Search for Med Crimes Podcast.
That last one there. Woo. And if you wish to become a Patreon and join our amazing army of woodland critters that we love, that are fantastical,
you can visit www.patreon.
Why don't I do this last one, Devin? You're tired.
Patriot.
www.patreon.com/medcrimespodcast.
Have a great day.
We love ya.